Well, it's that time. We actually hit it at 8:10, which is what we're supposed to do. So I went through the update fairly quick. But it is now time. The Athlete of the Week is our Athlete of the Week. It's being brought to you by the Lenawee Intermediate School District, recognizing excellence in competition and the determination student-athletes require to succeed in both in and out of the classroom. And this week's Athlete of the Week is from Tecumseh. Men's bowling is Caden Saltz. Caden, congratulations and welcome inside the cave.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Closer.
Sorry. Yeah, there you go. Yes, so good weekend last weekend as Tecumseh Bowling. You get as a team win the regional, and then you win the region as an individual. So that was a pretty good weekend. Where were you guys at last week?
We split the tournament over two different houses. So we went.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So for individuals, we started at Royal Scott in Lansing, and then the next day we went to City Limits Mason in Mason.
That's not typical, is it? Usually
no,
you're in the same house for the whole weekend?
Yeah, that's the first time we've ever done that.
That's interesting. I wonder why they had to. They must have had something else going on at one of those other places. But, again, a good team, as you guys qualified there nicely, a couple hundred pins over Northwest. So when you look at what you guys did as a team, too, I mean, again, you qualified. You were the number one in there, and then your teammate Owen Williams was second, and then Palmer Zemer was fifth. So when you look at three of your five in the top seven, that bodes very well for you guys.
Oh yeah, we've always been able to find some pretty decent amounts of success with tournaments like these. We've all been around each other for at least 3 years. Palmer Zemer's one of the only non-seniors we have on our team this year, so he's been there for 3 years now, but the rest of us have all been there for 4 years, so we feel like we have a lot of experience and are able to recognize patterns that we've seen in the previous years.
Well, and then this year, we got a new pattern this year, so how did that affect, did it take you guys a minute to try to figure that new pattern out?
So the technical differences to the pattern weren't huge on paper, but the way that it played made it a lot different from bowling alley to bowling alley. We found that we can practice on it for 3 weeks straight at our home bowling alley and then go somewhere else. And especially like with the first tournament of the year, we were completely lost. It played very different from what we were expecting. And, you know, just over the years, you know, that's something that we've been able to learn is, you know, how to adapt to stuff like that. And I think that if we were a newer team going into a change like this, we might have found it a little more difficult.
Right. Now, are you a traditional bowler or are you a two-hander?
I'm a two-hander.
Two-hander. How did you kind of gravitate towards that, or did you kind of always start two-handed?
So I've been bowling since I was four, so about 14 years now.
So probably then you did two-handed.
just about. So I started traditionalist for about, I would say, like 4 to 5-ish years, and I... You know, as just a young kid, I liked to watch TV and stuff, and we would always put on the professionals. And I have a specific memory of watching professional bowler Jason Belmonte, who kind of leveled the playing field with that, you know, revolution. And I just remember watching it and going, I want to try that. And I do still remember the day as far back as it is. I remember throwing my first ball was a strike. And from that moment on, I was determined, even after the six gutters after it. So, you know, it's always just been more comfortable for me. And I think that it helps a lot of younger bowlers get into the sport a lot easier because it's more control, more power, you know, and it feels a little bit easier to grasp off the beginning.
Are you seeing a trend more and more bowlers going that route?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that a lot more than, you know, at least a third of the new guys coming in, new kids coming in, trying to learn how to bowl are bowling two-handed, whether it be because they saw someone do it out or just because it's easier. You know, right. That's a lot of the difficulties that I've seen with younger kids, you know, still growing and getting stronger is just being able to, you know, heave that ball one-handed and still be able to put it in the same spot every time. You know, it gets difficult after a while. With two-handed, you know, you can kind of keep it controlled throughout, you know, your periods of growing
right.
throughout your life, because it's just the only real difference is either how heavy the ball is or, you know, where you're holding it. So I think that especially now, you know, with some of the other advantages it offers, I think that it's going to be a thing, and it'll probably stay like that for a while.
Yeah.
Can you help me out a little bit? I'm not when you do, I understand the two-handed. Do you still have the fingers in the ball at all?
Yeah, so the only difference between one-handed and two-handed is I'm just taking my thumb out of the ball. So I'm holding it with my two middle fingers go into the ball, and then I just kind of like palm it and I rest it on my hand.
Yeah, and help me, you say patterns. I'm not sure. I think I understand what you're talking about. It's just the difference in the lanes. Just help us out with what you're saying, patterns, what that means to everybody else.
Yeah, so each bowling alley and tournament, depending on, you know, what kind of tournament it is. So, like, for instance, for like the MHSAA patterns for Michigan, it's like a coat of oil that we put on the lanes to help the balls you know, go down the lane. It actually originated way back when we still were throwing like rubber and wood balls. They put a lubricant on the lanes to protect the lanes, like mm-hmm. to stop the balls from damaging them. And after a while, they realized that the oil was helping the balls skid, and they could, you know, optimize it. And then it just slowly progressed into what we're doing today. So I don't remember the numbers specifically. I believe the Phantom 2 pattern is what we're bowling on. It's like a modified version of Phantom, which is what we bowled on the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, it's just we call them a competition pattern. So there's like a house shot, which is like what they put out for like league and like open bowling, and then you have your competition shots, which is like what we do tournaments on, and then the sport shot, which is like a perfect 1-to-1 ratio, which is like the hardest stuff to bowl on. That stuff is ridiculous. I've only ever had to do that once. But yeah, so basically it just it helps the balls get down the lane, and then once they get past that like level of oil, it allows for the balls to kind of grab on the area of the lane that doesn't have oil, and that's where you see that hook, is where, you know, it comes off of that oil, grabs that dry spot, and goes left.
Right.
That sounds way too complicated for me.
For
the average bowler,
yeah.
That information. It's like, well, I know they. I've taught some bowling in my teaching days, and one of my things is that your kids, you don't get on the oil with your shoes, because that tracks back to the approach and
right.
that. But let me ask you another question. How do you practice? I mean, I know when you practice, you're going to throw as good a bowler as you are. You're going to throw a lot of strikes. How do you practice trying to get spares? I mean, do you intentionally sometimes just throw a ball down there to create a spare that you want to practice on?
So we actually do drills over at Tempe Alley. You know, obviously Kenny being one of our head coaches and the owner of the bowling alley has a lot of benefits for us. So we actually have a drill where we will tell the pin setter not to set up pins, and then we have like just little PVC pipes hanging off a string.
Really?
And we can choose where to put that to represent pins, and then we throw it on practice, and just, I mean, we'll spend, you know, 10 minutes in a row, 20 minutes in a row, depending on, you know, maybe how bad we did the day before.
Yeah, interesting. That's I was just curious, because I mean, if you practice, you're going to probably 80-90% of the time throw a strike, and that's not always going to be the case, and sometimes that spare is just as important to pick up.
Yeah, I've been down at ZZ's when the college is down there, and set them up in different spots to make you work on some of those things. But we got to take a quick time out, and we'll be back with more with Caden Saltz, our LISD Athlete of the Week, right here, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
My name is Lily, and I am a student at the JC LISD Academy. Joining the Academy wasn't just about classes. It was about real connections, personalized support from caring advisors, small class sizes with experienced instructors, and a college learning environment with other driven students. Together, we're crafting our own journey. Visit lisd.us/academy to see our upcoming information sessions. JC LISD Academy, beyond college ready, college proven.
All right, well, We are back, and we're chatting more on the other side about all of the oil patterns and everything. And again, Caden Saltz, our LISD Athlete of the Week from Tecumseh Bowling. And again, one of the things we didn't get to was last weekend, you were all 300 in one of your six games that led up to the qualifying. And so how many is that 300 for you?
So for me, in general, is my fourth one that I've ever thrown.
Okay.
Technically, because of the USBC ruling, it's considered a sanctioned 300. So I could opt in to get like a 300 ring for it, and that would be my second sanction.
Nice. So senior, what are your plans for next year?
We've been out and about looking for colleges. There are a lot of different options all over America. You know, a lot of the bigger, you know, top of the line colleges are actually a little bit farther away. But there are still plenty of options here in Michigan. I like to think of Michigan as kind of that like bowling capital of the world, as a lot of people call it. There are plenty of colleges out there that have great bowling programs. A lot of my research is going into trying to find a place where I'm not like that, you know, kind of big hitter. I almost want to start in a lower position and learn, you know, because that's mainly the goal of, you know, going to college bowling and going to that next level, is trying to become the next level. You know, I want to be that guy that sets the bar for, you know, kids below me, but I also want to be the guy that looks up to the guy that is the bar.
Right. Great team concept, and especially when Mark, you know, a lot of people don't think of bowling as a team concept, but you just spoke to the fact of how bowling is an individual sport, but there's a lot of team aspects to it, and what you just mentioned shows that completely.
What are you interested in academically?
I believe that if I do end up going to a four-year university, I'll get a bachelor's degree in computer science.
Okay.
Let me ask you one more question. When you're bowling and you've got a streak going, and you're, at what point do you get nervous about a 300 game? I mean, if you, let's say you got, is it six, seven? When do you start thinking, hey, I know, because you've got to know that. And, you know, I've played all the other sports. There's a point where if you got a no-hitter going, nobody speaks to you. Is it the same in bowling? Like when you got a perfect game going, does anybody talk, or at what point is some nerves creep in there for you and everybody around you?
Yeah, so my general basis is usually creeping up on seventh and eighth frame, especially for regionals. That was a really funny situation, because the game beforehand, I actually struck six times in a row off the rip, and then threw it bad and left like a seven count and spared it and struck out. So in the 300 game, I got to that sixth frame and walked up on the seventh and was like, okay, you know, this is the time. If I can get this here, you know, there's probably a decent chance that this might happen. For the most part, a lot of people really try to act natural, and sometimes acting natural actually is worse than, you know, treating it like the real deal. Especially with bowling, usually you get, you know, through that ninth frame, and once you strike on that ninth frame, you'll start to see people, you know, kind of creeping towards you, and they keep their space, but by the 10th or 11th shot, if you turn around, you will see that you have a crowd.
Right.
You know, it's especially, you know, in high school bowling with a little bit of, I wouldn't say lower caliber, but it's just a little more spread out. It's not something that happens every tournament,
right.
You know,
yep.
And especially at regionals with a bigger stage like that, you know, when it's time to, you know, get stuff done, it's definitely, something people like to watch. I actually thought it was funny. A lot of my teammates that were farther down didn't even realize that it was happening until they heard the shouting and yelling for that 12th shot. But, you know, turning around after that 12th shot and seeing, you know, 2,500 to 100 people, you know, standing there clapping,
yeah,
is definitely a surreal feeling that sticks with you for a long time.
That's awesome. Well, again, congrats on that. Once again, congratulations to Caden Saltz for being the LISD Athlete of the Week. Continue to inspire the community through motivated, dedicated, and determined hard work, the LISD empowering learners and creating opportunities for success. Once again, Caden Saltz from Tecumseh, our LISD Athlete of the Week, and good luck this weekend in both team and individuals.
Thank you.